Welcome to the W5BSA repeater. DL-123.
WD5JRD testing. WD5JRD clear.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1617, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, June the 24th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, June the 25th, 2025 at 0100. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston, and we're also on the 443.325 repeater in Katy, and both of those have a PL tone of 123.0, and then there's links to the 146.7 and other repeaters, and the AMSAT DMR talk group of 98006, YSF Fusion 11689, All-Star Node 572580, and Echo Link is Star AMSAT Star. And I will now take local check-in.
PL-123.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5 Charity Carl, Jersey Village, good evening, Marty.
Good evening, Carl. Glad to have you aboard. WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. We got anybody else up there?
WD5PQJ.
All right. Good evening, Herbert. KD5PQJ. You got a good signal tonight. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to start with our usual announcement here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. They held their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that's at 4:30 p.m. at a local restaurant there. And then at 8 p.m. they have a meeting on Zoom, and you can log in and listen or participate, and that's over at k5wh.net/Zoom, and we appreciate Walter doing that for us. And let's see, we don't have any immediate updates here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. Okay, but we know there's going to be a bunch of trackers to come, so we'll keep an eye on that. We know they're putting those things together, and they got a bunch of kits there in stock, so there's going to be plenty of balloon action coming up. Okay, and I wouldn't put it past John, AB5SS, to be doing something for field day, so you never know about that. That could be a pop up there. So, of course, that's this coming weekend. Let's see. I want to remind everybody you can call and check in at HoustonAmSatNet by making a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message to West Virginia 5 Yankee, no dashes, no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And that email is wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, we're switching over here to the AMSAT News Service Weekly Bulletins. This is News Service Bulletin number 173 by Mark Johns. And the AMSAT News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space including reports and activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/Pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. Thank Bruce for making the URLs available tonight over at amsatnet.com. So the URLs we discuss, if you'd like to find out a little more information or dive a little deeper, you can follow along by just clicking on the link over there available on the front page of amsatnet.com. Thanks to Bruce. Of course, being the pre-field day, AMSAT field day, we will be discussing AMSAT's field day rules, so we'll get that lowdown there for Bruce, since he is the AMSAT awards guy and field day guy, so we appreciate that coming from Bruce. We've got a HAMSAT that's to test a new super black paint that could fix the satellite light pollution problem. HAMSAT UK is delighted to have been able to accept an opportunity to provide a FunCube light payload with a mode UV FM transponder for the exciting Jovian 1 satellite. This 6U CubeSat is being designed and built by Space South Central, which is the largest regional space cluster in the UK. And of course, a 6U CubeSat is six of those little square cubes that all stick together in a line. This partnership between industry and academia is designed to accelerate space business growth and grow the reputation of the South Central region of the UK and foster an environment of innovation. The collaboration between the universities of Surrey, Portsmouth, and Southampton, JUPITER, the Joint Universities Program for In-Orbit Training, Education, and Research, will equip participants with invaluable hands-on space industry experience and training for their future careers. The FunCube Light payload from AMSAT UK will collect and send telemetry from Jovian-1 subsystems for educational outreach to schools and colleges using the tried and tested FunCube data format. Telemetry will include data from the payload's own radiation sensor, along with GPS information gathered from the satellite's CAN bus. These data can be used to map radiation throughout the orbit, identifying planetary radiation hotspots such as the polar regions and the South Atlantic anomaly. It will also give an accurate measure of how much radiation reaches the sensitive electronics within the satellite. While Jovian 1 and its ground station at Surrey University will use commercial S and X band for primary communication, FunCube Light will use frequencies in the amateur UHF and VHF spectrum. When not sending telemetry, The payload can be configured as a mode UV-FM voice transponder for amateurs to use for international communications. In addition, Jovian 1 will be a test bed for a new technology to reduce the impact of low Earth orbit or LEO satellites on astronomy. A new partnership between Surrey Nanosystems and the University of Surrey is aiming to tackle what has become a major concern for astronomers worldwide. They are working on using Surrey Nanosystems' newest product, Vanta Black 310, which is a super black coating. When Vanta Black 310 is applied to a surface, it reflects only 2% of incoming light, meaning it absorbs the remaining 98%. This high level of light absorption makes the coated surfaces appear extremely dark, helping to minimize the unwanted brightness from satellites that can disrupt the work of stargazers. More than 8,000 low Earth orbit satellites already orbit the Earth, and projections estimate a rise to 60,000 by 2030, partly driven by the development of mega constellations.
CL-123.
To combat this problem, satellite operators have begun experimenting with mitigation strategies, including dark coatings and changes to satellite position through the negative impact on ground-based measurement persists. Surrey Nanosystems, with a heritage in ultra-black technologies, says their new solution, Vanta Black 310, is a handable, customer-applied coating resistant to the challenging low Earth orbit environment. The technology will have its first on-orbit trial on the Jovian 1 mission, scheduled to launch in 2026. One side of the CubeSat will be coated with the material so that reflection and temperature measurements can be compared. Okay, there is going to be more information provided at the AMSAT UK Colloquium that takes place during the weekend of October 11th through 12th, 2025 in Milton Keynes, UK. And you can just check out amsat-uk.org/colloquium. And we'll thank AMSAT UK, Space South Central, and Talker.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Your 2025 AMSAT President's Club coin is waiting. Celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight, help support Golf and Fox Plus. All right, how can I do that, you wonder? You can join the AMSAT President's Club today and help keep amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.amsat.org/join-amsat-presidents-club. All right, this is Marty WV. And the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's see here. We're just about at quarter past the hour, so we're going to take a quick standby, and we're going to take a look around and see who we've got checking in. Okay, we got Charlie, K5ENG, over there in West Houston. And, of course, he bought one of the AMSAT CubeSat SIM kits. So, I'll have to find out if he's been making any progress with that. Let's see, we've got Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota. Of course, he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website. And we appreciate Dale doing that for us. We have had to use it here once or twice. And I hope they're managing to survive the extreme kind of weather that they've been having going on up there. Okay, we've got Vern, WHO-RCR, out there in Winsville, Missouri. And, of course, thanks to him, you can hear Annette on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. We did hear from Kai this week, N6ZZO. He's one of our podcast listeners. He calls and checks in. And he's over there in McKinleyville, California. So we'll appreciate Kai calling and checking in. And let's see, from APRS, see if we have any APRS check-ins. Okay, no check-ins here off of APRS. So, it's okay. It happens occasionally. It's been a while since we've had any APRS check-ins. Okay, from the Internet Relay Chat System, we have Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, and Rachy. Good evening to Rachy. We've got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. Okay, then on Echolink, let's see, we've got Mitch, AB0HJ. He's up there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on primarily on VMR. Of course, then it's a relay to all different places after that, but it does originate on VMR, and that is on the AmSat Talk Group 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689. And, of course, also I think on the 443.325 repeater in Katy and the 146.7 downtown and the link system on the
443.325. This is the W5BSA repeater.
All right, we've got Damien, AG9P, and he's out there in Oconto, Wisconsin, so good evening to Damien. And then we got Bruce up there in Roman Forest, and of course, thanks to Bruce, he has the satellite award information that's on the website, and also the field day rules. We got Andrew, KC5LWY, down there in Galveston, good evening to Andrew. And then there's MDOP, N6UTC. And he's over there in the Long Beach, California. So good evening to Indop. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Time to cover the field day information for AmSat Field Day on the satellites. Of course, Field Day is this weekend, the fourth full weekend in June. It's that time of year again, summer and Field Day. Each year, the American Radio Relay League, the ARRL, sponsors a Field Day as a picnic, a camp out, practice for emergencies, an informal contest, and most of all, fun. The event takes place during a 27-hour period on the fourth weekend of June. For 2025, the event takes place from 1800 UTC on Saturday, June the 28th, 2025, through 2100 UTC on Sunday, June the 29th, 2025. Those who set up prior to 1800 UTC on the June the 28th can operate only 24 hours. The Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, AMSAT, promotes its own version of Field Day for operation via the amateur satellites, and it's held concurrently with the ARRL event. Alright, this year should be as much fun as last year, since we have more than 10 transponders and repeaters available. Users should check the AMSAT status page at www.amsat.org/status and the pages at www.amsat.org/amateur-satellite-index for what is available in the weeks leading up to Field Day. And to reduce the amount of time to research each satellite, you can see the current FM satellite table, and that's it. www.amsat.org/live-fm-satellites and the current linear satellite table. Okay, that one's right over at amsat.org/linear-satellite-frequency-summary.
DL-123.
Okay, if you're not going to do sideband and you're considering only the FM voice satellites, there is the International Space Station, SO-50, PO-101, SO-124, SONATE-2, and possibly LILAC-SAT. Might be easier this year to make that one FM contact for the ARRL bonus points with so many FM birds. Unfortunately, the congestion on FM LEO satellites during Field Day is always so intense that we must continue to limit their use to one QSO per FM satellite. This includes the International Space Station, the ISS. You'll be allowed one QSO if the ISS is operating voice. It was suggested during past field days that a control station be allowed to coordinate contacts on the FM satellites. There's nothing in the rules that would prohibit this. This is nothing more than a single station working multiple QSOs. If a station were to act as a control station and give QSOs to every other field day station, the control station would still only be allowed to turn in one QSO per FM satellite, while the other station would be able to submit one QSO. Format for the message exchange on the ISS or other digital packet satellites is an unproto packet to the other station, and a three-way exchange is required with all the same information as normally exchanged for ARRL Field Day, such as W6NWG from KK5DO 2A South Texas, and then the response KK5DO from W6NWG QSL 5A SDG, for instance, they were in San Diego. And then he would say W6NWG DKK5DO QSL, so then the contact is complete. If you've worked the satellites on Field Day in recent years, you may have noticed a lot of good contacts can be made on some of the less populated low Earth orbit satellites, like AO7, RS-44, AO73, JO97 or MO122. During field day, the transponders come alive like 20 meters on a weekend. Good news is that the transponders on these satellites will support multiple simultaneous contacts. The bad news is you can't use FM low-duty cycle modes like single sideband and CW. Okay, the 2025 AMSAT Field Day Rules. The AMSAT Field Day 2025 event is open to all radio amateur operators. Amateurs are to use the exchange as specified in the ARRL rules for Field Day. The AMSAT competition is to encourage the use of all amateur satellites, both analog and digital. Note that no points will be credited for any contacts beyond the one allowed via each single-channel FM satellite. Operators are encouraged not to make any extra contacts via these satellites, such as SO50. CW contacts and digital contacts are worth 3 points as outlined here, okay? We've got analog transponders, and for them, the ARRL rules apply, except each phone, CW, and digital segment on each satellite transponder is considered to be a separate band. CW and digital, such as RTTY, PSK31, etc., contacts count as 3 points each. Stations may only count one completed QSO on any single-channel FM satellite. The satellite has multiple modes, such as VU and LS modes, both turned on. One contact each is allowed. And then if the personal bulletin board system or the PBS is on, the CPAC sets below, I will cover that. The ISS, you get one phone and one digital. Contacts with the ISS crew will count for one contact if they are active. And there's PC Sat 1, 2, etc. They count as one digital. And the use of more than one transponder at the same time on a single satellite transponder is prohibited. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. We're covering the field day rules here for this coming weekend for on the satellites. And covering the digital transponders, we have only 8TRS digipeters and 10-meter to 70-centimeter PSK transponders. See Bob Berninga's article in the March-April 2016 issue of the AMSAT Journal. Satellite digipeat QSOs and APRS short message contacts are worth 3 points each, but must be complete verified two-way exchanges. The one contact per FM satellite rule is not applied to digital transponders. And the use of terrestrial gateway stations or internet gateways, such as Echolink, IRLP, any of those kind of things, to uplink or downlink, of course, is not allowed for field day. Okay, for the PacSats, like FalconSat 3 or store and forward hamsats, each satellite is considered a separate band. Do not post CQ messages. Simply upload one greeting message to each satellite and download as many greeting messages as possible from each satellite. The subject of the uploaded file should be posted as a field day greetings addressed to all. The purpose of this portion of the competition is to demonstrate digital satellite communications to other field day participants and observers. Do not reply to the field day greetings addressed to all. Okay, the following uploads and downloads count as 3-point digital contacts. If you upload a satellite field day greetings file, one per satellite, download a satellite field day greetings file posted by other stations. Downloads of non-field day files or messages not addressed to all are not to be counted for the event. Save the directory listings and message files for later proof of contact. And please note, AMSAT uploaded messages do not count for QSO points under the ARRL rules. Okay, a sample satellite field day greeting file might go something like this. Greetings from W5MSQ field day satellite station near Katy, Texas, EL-29, that's the grid, with 20 participants operating Class 2A in the AMSAT Houston group with the Houston Amateur Television Society and the Houston QRP Club. All the best, and 73.
BL-123.
Of course, lots of places will probably only have one club. Note that the message stated the call, the name of the group, the operating class, where they were located, the grid square would be helpful, and how many operators were in attendance. And then for the operating class, stations operating portable and using emergency power as per ARRL field day rules are in a separate operating class from those at home connected to commercial power. On the report form, simply list emergency or commercial for the power source and be sure to specify your ARRL operating class, whether you're 2A, 1C, and if you're at home, you're a Delta station. If you're at home on emergency power, you'd be a 1 Echo. And then also your ARRL section. And finally, the satellite summary sheet should be used for submission of the A-level of the AMSAT field day competition and be received by KK5VO by email by 11:59 p.m. Central Daylight Time, Tuesday, July the 29th, 2025. This year, we're using the same due date as the ARRL. The only method for submitting your log is via email to KK5VO at amsatnet.com or KK5VO at ARRL.net. There are no mail-in entries. And if you'd like, and it would be much appreciated if you did, you can add photographs or other interesting information that can be used in an article for the AMSAT Journal. And you will receive an email back within 1 or 2 days from Bruce when he receives your email submission. If you do not receive a confirmation message, then he has not received your submission, so try sending it again or send it to his other email address. Certificates will be awarded for the first place emergency power portable station at the AMSAT General Meeting and Space Symposium in the fall of 2025. Certificates will also be awarded to the second and third place portable emergency operation in addition to the first place home station running on emergency power. A station submitting high award-winning scores will be requested to send in dupe sheets for analog contacts and message listings for digital downloads. You may have multiple rig difficulties, antenna failures, computer glitches, generator disasters, tropical storms, and there may even be satellite problems. And actually, we are having some coronas and solar activities. We're supposed to be having some auroras here the next few days. Of course, not down here in Houston, but if you're in a high latitude. All right, of course, the true goal for field day is to test your ability to operate in an emergency situation. So try different gear. Demonstrate satellite operations to hams that don't even know the hamsats exist. Test your equipment. Avoid making more than one contact via the FM voice hamsats or the ISS, and enjoy the event.
W5BSA repeater.
All right, if you'd like to go over some more of those details or find out any more information, the full article and downloadables are available at www.amsat.org/field-day. And we'll say thanks to Bruce Page, KK5VO, AMSAT Contest and Awards Manager, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. Okay, as we discussed last week, and as we covered part one, now we are getting here to part two of the legacy of AMSAT flight software. Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, AMSAT Senior Software Engineer, spoke at the 2025 Hamvention AMSAT Forum about his involvement in the development of flight software for AMSAT satellites. In part two, Fisher explains that while Fox satellites are in low Earth orbits between approximately 500 kilometers and 800 kilometer altitudes, he needs to test newly added functions required for navigation and propulsion, part of AMSAT's strategic goals involving highly elliptical orbits for wide access satellite missions. And, of course, we have had some issues with that in the past, so I'm sure they want to mitigate any of those problems. And hopefully have everything go smoothly this time. Burns explained, adding to complexity is the need for failover capability. Failover is a backup operational mode that automatically switches to a standby system if the primary system fails. We wanted to have multiple processors that could fail over in a higher altitude radiation exposure event using processor coordination. One of the newer circuit boards we're using is the Radiation Tolerant Internal Housekeeping Unit, the RT-IHU. It includes error detection and correction, EDAC memory, that performs self-tests while in use. We are using higher quality automotive grade components for that purpose. and then the AMSAT News Service Bulletin. We have a lovely picture here of the Internal Housekeeping Unit board. It's got the twin processors, looks like, kind of in the middle. And then a whole bunch of surface mount components. Burns explained, each processor has two redundant cores to cross-check functionality. Each redundant board has these processor chips, non-volatile memory, as well as separate receiver and transmitter. There are bus switches that disconnect one processor from the main satellite bus if there's a failure. He said, the RT-IHU hasn't flown on an AMSAT satellite, so we wanted to have something that had flight heritage for more assurance of successful operation. In addition to the RT-IHU then, we are flying the latest revision of the legacy IHU. It's essentially the same board that flew successfully 7 times. The dual IHUs are connected together on the golf bus. Controlling the multiple IHUs is the job of the coordination software task mentioned above. The RTIHU also has a telemetry transmitter and a command receiver. Whichever processor is in control at a particular time is responsible for collecting and transmitting telemetry as well as control satellite subsystems. All the command receivers are active at all times.
TL-123.
Okay, then he's got another lovely big picture here of some boards and some test equipment spread out on a table. He says, in the photo above, you see my software development bench covered with a flat sat, satellite boards all spread out for easy access. You can see a purple breakout board, or BOB, that Leandra McLennan, AF1R, built, tested, and documented. It has the IHU's transmitter and receiver boards mounted on it. The gray ribbon cable connects the BOB to a prototype central interface unit, or a CIU. The big green board in front is the GPS evaluation board system. The GPS system is used to find out where the satellite is and get our orbital elements out of it, as well as getting the exact UTC time. And then toward the back is the ADAC, the Attitude Determination and Control System. In this flat-sat configuration, everything is connected by jumper wires, Byrne explained. The BOB is a vital element of the board-level testing of satellite components. A Hamvention 2025 AMSAT forum presentation by Leandra covered the BOB in detail and will be available shortly. Burns continued, the photo also shows the test equipment I use. There are two different power supplies because the actual satellite power supply will provide multiple voltages. In addition, I use an oscilloscope to help me understand the electrical signals when a data bus does not operate the way I expect. Flat sats like this show how we develop the flight software. Not in the photo, but to the right of what you see is my Linux computer where the software is edited and compiled. The software is loaded into the FlatSats IHUs and tested, often using the console task I mentioned above. Now, Burns concluded, AMSAT software continuous and increasingly complex process. We want to get started writing software even before we have all the correct boards. It requires additional hours of work as well as following the satellite subsystems in order to get an idea of the software that will be required. NANS thanks Burns Fisher, WB1FJ, AMSAT Senior Software Engineer, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. Hey, do you need new satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AMSAT store. And when you purchase through AMSAT, the portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is amsat.org/product-category/hardware. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT Net. See, we're about three-quarters of the way through our hour here, but we missed the half point, flew right by that one. But we're going to go ahead and take a standby and see if we have any late local check-ins. So any check-ins for the Houston AMSAT Net come now. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. NASA science missions could be cut in the 2026 budget. President Donald Trump's fiscal 2026 budget request, if approved by Congress, would kill many of NASA's plans for robotic exploration of the solar system. Gone, too, would be multiple space-based missions to study Earth, the Sun, and the rest of the universe. Among the planets that would get less attention are Venus, Mars, and Jupiter. But the planet facing the biggest drop in scrutiny from space is our own. The Trump budget proposal calls for reducing Earth science funding by 53%. Also X, a mission that would take a closer look at Apophis, a jumbo asteroid that will pass just 20,000 miles from Earth, closer than geosynchronous satellites, on April the 13th, 2029. The White House Office of Management and Budget said in its request that NASA's current spending of more than $7 billion a year on nearly 100 science missions is unsustainable. Planetary Society, a nonprofit advocacy group for space science, estimates that 41 current or planned missions, roughly a third of NASA's portfolio, would be terminated if the Trump budget is approved as written. Trump's proposals would hammer the NASA workforce, triggering the loss of thousands of civil service and contractor positions. Congress has the power of the purse, however, and could save missions targeted for termination. The Senate Commerce, Space, and Transportation Committee, chaired by Senator Ted Cruz from Texas, is pushing to protect much of NASA's funding, but is primarily concerned with saving existing elements of the agency's Artemis Moon program. On Thursday, the committee proposed restoring billions of dollars to a variety of NASA projects. Okay, the full article with a descriptive list of projects that might be cut can be found at www.washingtonpost.com/science/2025/06/08/NASA-budget-voyager-space. And we want to thank the Washington Post for that information. you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition, you can get your AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And if you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. The URL is right over at www.zazzle.com/AMSAT_here. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AMSAT net. Looks like this week there are no additions or deletions to the AMSAT TLE distribution, but we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. Of course, two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs, in the amateur community, are the inputs to the STP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. So that's the file you update weekly, and which is perfectly good for most amateur satellites, and then your programs will show the satellites in the correct locations. Okay, you can find more information over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. All right, coming this year is the SBR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter from the AMSAT engineers and the SENT, the Advanced Satellite Communication and Exploration of New Technology.
DL-123.
The features of SDR Gen 2 are a 144 MHz through 6 GHz continuous coverage, direct VHF-UHF 900 MHz LS and C-band operations. You get all-mode capability with CW, single-sideband, FT8, narrowband FM, single SSTV, ATV, etc. And there's a minimum downlink data rate of 1 Mbps, and it's built to fly on Fox Plus and the Golf missions. Okay, Axiom Space is on the verge of its fourth private astronaut mission to space in as many years. The flight, dubbed Axiom Mission 4, or AX4, will see the astronauts from India, Poland, and Hungary reach the International Space Station for the first time. The four crew members, led by Axiom Space's Director of Human Spaceflight, Peggy Winston, will embark on a roughly two-week mission to the orbiting outpost. The quartet will launch on board a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket from NASA's Kennedy Space Center, but the launch was delayed due to a variety of issues, including an air link on the ISS, weather, and possible issues with the Falcon 9 booster rocket. I do believe, though, it launched today, this morning. SpaceX had also said on Sunday, June the 15th, it was reviewing data from a static test firing that took place that day, suggesting there was perhaps an undisclosed technical problem. The mission was previously delayed from late May because the mission's brand new Crew Dragon spacecraft was not ready.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
The mission, dubbed Axiom Mission 4, or AX4, features the debut of the Crew Dragon spacecraft, tail number C213. This has been billed by SpaceX as its fifth and final Dragon capsule. SpaceX's long-term goals are to shift its human spaceflight missions from Dragon to its Starship rocket, which it said will be capable of ferrying dozens of people into space. There are a number of amateur radio contacts that are among the tasks that will be performed by the Axiom crew during their time aboard the ISS. And we want to thank Spaceflight Now for that information. Okay, amateurs and others around the world can listen in on contacts between the amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. So you can listen on the downlink frequency, which is 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Okay, there was a recently completed contact by Youth on the Air 2025 from Denver, Colorado, and they had they were direct via W0Y. The ISS call sign was NA1SS. Crew member Nicole Ayers, KJ5GWI, and the ARS Mentor, N7GZT. Contact was successful on 6/19/2025. 1732-31 UTC with a 48 degree maximum elevation. Okay, there are a few upcoming previously announced contacts associated with the Axiom mission that are being rescheduled due to the launch delay. But the crossband repeater on the ISS continues to be active. Some 145.990 megahertz up, the PL tone of 67, then you listen on 437.800 megahertz down. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen, you just never know. The only thing you know is it will be extremely crowded this weekend for field day. So it's an interesting time to listen or to try to make contacts. Okay, the packet system is listed as being currently off on 145.825 megahertz up and down. As always, if there's an EVA docking or an undocking, the ARS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. Latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.ars.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.ars.org/contact-b-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARS Operation Team mentors, for that information. All right, as far as AMSAT ambassador activities, we've got the Rochester Amateur Radio Association AmFest. The Barnard Fire Field on June 21st at 410 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York. We've got August 21st to the 24th, the Northeast Ham Exposition in New England, AWRL Convention at the Best Western Royal Plaza and Trade Center at 181 Boston Post, Road W, Marlborough, Massachusetts. And you can check out www.hamex.org. Okay, there's the Greater Louisville Ham Fest, December the 6th, the Paraquet Springs Conference Center at 395 Paraquet Springs Drive in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And then October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, there's the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting and the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting, the Holiday Inn and Suites, Phoenix Airport North, and that's at 1515 North 44th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, and you can go to www.amsat.org/2025-symposium. All right, Marty, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. AWOL's logbook of the world is upgoing updates and will be unavailable from June 27th to July the 2nd, 2025 to complete the upgrades. So we appreciate that information. They're coming from the AWOL on logbook of the world. Time here. Let's see, we want to remind everybody you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org. And in addition to regular membership, AMSAT offers membership to societies, primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. All right, we get a 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. That's from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM. That's mjohns@amsat.org. And we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AMSAT Net. We hope everybody has a safe and fun field day. We look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, MU5ACM, Bruce, KK5DO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 for this week from the Houston AMSAT Net. Says AD0HJ says he's going on a big satellite rove, so we hope he has much success at that.
DL123.